son here today. Retires this month. Next month. 25 years in the United States Navy. Amen. Amen. I thank God for people that are willing to serve. Amen. But he's home. That's my message title this morning is The Way Home. He has nothing to do with it. He's just an illustration this morning. How many of you watched the movie E.T.? Here, I'll date you. How many of you remember the TV sitcom Alf? That'll take some of you back a little ways. Alien life form, ALF. We won't go any further with that. All of them wanting to get home. That was E.T.'s catchphrase, phone home. Little finger would light up. Nobody knew that but me. One of the worst movies ever of all time, The Wizard of Oz. And flying monkeys. No way, man. Them flying monkeys, that's just... Yeah, there's no place like home away from them flying monkeys. That's all I'm saying. They all wanted to go home, and then there's the movie Up. Anybody remember the movie Up? Great movie. Little old man, little old woman flying around in their house. I don't know how that all worked out, but the bottom line is they're all looking to get home. Some of us this morning are looking to find our way home, and I want to help you with that this morning. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your goodness, your grace, your love, and your mercy, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that not only are you preparing a home, a place for us, oh God, you are the way. And so, Lord, we're grateful for that today. And, Lord, as we take these next few moments and look into your word, I pray, God, that you'd help this preacher to decrease. Lord, that you'd increase in me, Lord, that your word would go forth and accomplish all that you have set it forth to do, God. That not one person would leave today, not one person would tune in by way of the internet today and not know how to make heaven their home. And Lord, I just thank you for that. I pray, God, for fruit following this message. I pray, Lord, for lives changed and transformed by the glory of God in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. Has anybody ever been lost? Now, I'm not talking about lost as in outside of the kingdom. I know everybody's been lost in that realm, but I'm talking about you just lost. Where in the world am I? Right? How many of you would agree with me this morning? That's the worst feeling in the world, is to be lost and not know where in the world you're at or how in the world to get someplace. Amen. I mean, that's bad. I mean, lost like Hogan's goat lost. There's a feeling that comes with that of despair. I mean, you don't know where in the world you're at. You don't know how to get where you need to be. And you're pretty much helpless in a lot of ways. But in the spiritual context, we are all lost outside of Christ. And so this morning, I want you to turn with me to John chapter 14, message titled The Way Home. John chapter 14, I want to look at the first six verses. Well, you've preached on this before, Pastor. I know. I've preached on a lot of this before. But it just keeps coming up. Wonder why. John 14, starting in verse 1. When you find it, if you'd stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word, that would be awesome. John chapter 14, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This verse starts out with such encouragement. Let not your heart be troubled. Is that helping anybody this morning? Let not your heart be troubled, because the world is full of trouble. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he finishes it with this: no one comes to the Father except through me. Father God, your word speaks for itself. I can't add anything to this. I'm just going to do my best to try and put it into a perspective that your people can receive, Lord, whether they're watching by way of the internet, whether they're here today. God, only you know. And so, Lord, help me to be able to express what I feel like you're trying to get across to your people today. Lord, I need your anointing, God, to declare your word. Your people need your anointing to receive your word. And Father, I pray that all over this city that there are churches today that are preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Lord, that altar calls will be given, Lord, that people will be able to have the opportunity to say, listen, I need Jesus. I need to surrender my life to God. So Lord, help me today to declare your truth in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Slap somebody high five on your way sitting down. Oh, come on. All five of you. That's awesome. Hallelujah. I'll take it. Hey, what's going on over this side? A little too much? You guys calming down over there? Can we move along here? It's a wild bunch over on that side. Woo! Verse 1 speaks to the conditions that so many people are facing today. I mean, we're in this period of chaos when the government is shut down and people are going to work not knowing when they're going to get a paycheck. There are people that are relying on some subsistence, how you say that? Somebody help me. Some subsistence. Woo! Woo! Man, that's a good time, wasn't it? Subsistence. See, it's when I say some that it messes it all up. I don't know why, but it does. Are you laughing at me right now? Really? Good Lord. Little Myrtle Creek, yeah. Messed up. There are people that are troubled in their heart. They don't know when they're going to get another paycheck. They don't know when they're going to get their next subsistence pay. They don't know, and so their hearts are troubled. You know why? So many of them are outside of the parameters and of who Christ is. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. He said, I'll provide for you. Didn't he say that? Didn't he say, I'll provide for you? Yeah. Didn't he provide for his children for 40 years in the wilderness? Didn't he provide for them? And when they went to whining and complaining and grumbling about what they were eating, didn't he even meet their need there? Isn't that amazing? So many people today are facing all different kinds of calamity. And this verse says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Aren't you glad this morning that in the midst of the storm, in the midst of all the chaos, in the midst of all the trouble, in the midst of a government, aren't you glad we don't have to depend on the government?
Amen.
I mean, how big is our God? See, when life feels uncertain and when your heart is troubled, Jesus reminds us in His Word that peace and purpose and eternal life are found only in Him. Is Peter in the house somewhere and I didn't know that? What in the world is going on? I can't schedule this stuff. Cock-a-doodle-doo. It never gets old. Who was that? Was that you, Ray? Okay. That was perfect. My goodness. Let me try this again. If that chicken runs by, whack him with that stick, all right? That's just... When life feels uncertain, I don't know if I can pull it back together. I ain't even kidding you. Jesus reminds us, and how many of you know we need reminding? We need reminding. We need to be reminded daily that Jesus is our peace. He is our purpose. And our eternal life is only found in Him. He's speaking here to His disciples in the upper room on the night before His crucifixion. I can imagine that the atmosphere in the room is a little bit heavy in that place. And He's speaking to them. And in just a matter of hours, He is Himself going to be betrayed by one of His own. Think about that. One that He handpicked is about to betray Him. He's going to be, in fact, arrested, and that's going to lead to His flogging, and it's going to lead ultimately to His crucifixion and His death on the cross. The disciples' world was about to collapse. It was about to go crazy. Jesus made the declaration that Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter's like, there's no way. He said, yeah, it's true. And the third time Peter denied Him, the rooster crowed. How fitting that just unscripted, randomly, the rooster crows. Because when that's probably one of the most powerful sermons in all the Scripture, was that rooster crowing. That rooster's message brought Peter back to a place of salvation. Think about that for a moment. Because the moment that rooster crowed, all the words that Jesus had spoke flooded back into him. And in opposition to what Judas Iscariot did, Peter let the message transform him. It transformed him. He's in just a matter of hours, Jesus is going to be betrayed. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be crucified. Their whole world is going to be turned upside down. It's going to, all the walls are going to cave in. Yet Jesus, in the middle of all of their confusion, he begins to speak peace. And in the middle of all your confusion, in the middle of all the chaos in your life, in the middle of all the chaos that we see in the world around us, all these things, Jesus, if we'll just listen to him, wants to begin to speak some peace into your life. We all face moments when our heart's troubled, every one of us. We face those moments. There's death, there's disappointment, there's direction changes, but Jesus gives the cure for a troubled heart. Faith in him. Faith in who he is, faith in what he's done. And after predicting Peter's denial in chapter 13 and verse 38, Jesus speaks to the deep concerns of all the disciples. They were confused, and he encouraged them to trust. How about you this morning? Have you been confused? Jesus would encourage you to trust in him. They needed an anchor that would hold them fast in who Jesus was. He indicated that he and the Father are preparing a place for them while he's gone, but that he would in fact return and gather them back to himself. Now, oftentimes when we hear that he's preparing a place for us, we think these mansions and all this stuff, but really that word is just talking about dwellings. Just talking about a place of dwelling. So don't get your hopes up too high. Amen. For me, just to get there. Hallelujah. Just to be let in. I'm going to be pretty grateful. There's a cure for a troubled heart. If you're a note taker, you can write these things down. The cure for a troubled heart is belief in Jesus. Now, you gotta understand the word belief here in this context is not, it's more of a action word than anything else. It's you have to believe and then keep on believing. Is this working today? Didn't quit? To believe means to keep on believing. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Because, listen, faith and fear... Some of you need to write this down. This is one of those heavy hitters. Faith and fear cannot occupy the throne of your heart at the same time. Faith and fear cannot occupy the throne of your heart at the same time. One will always push the other out. One or the other will always push the other one out. And so when trouble arises, our focus needs to shift from the problem to the provision. It needs to shift from the problem to the person of Jesus Christ. He's the way and the truth and the life. He is all of that. Storms may rise and the boat may begin to shake, but listen, the anchor doesn't shake. The anchor is securely holding the ship in place. And for you and I today, we need to understand that Jesus really and truly is the anchor for your soul. He's the anchor for your soul. Number one, the cure we talked about for a troubled heart. Number two, I want you to understand the comfort of a prepared place. Listen, there is a place being prepared for you and I in heaven. And in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, that little phrase is not there to rise doubt. It's there kind of as an exclamation point. If it were not so, I would have told you. How many of you know that He is the truth? He is the way and the truth. And He says, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. He's coming again. Listen, He hasn't came on my time schedule or we'd be gone. Amen. But He said, I will come. And I will receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Heaven is not a fantasy. Heaven is not a fantasy. It's a reality. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. So there's some preparation that you and I have to do in order to receive what is being prepared for us now. I'm going to cheer you on. What's that? Well, we're busy thinking. Listen, no matter how unstable... Have you ever been on anything unstable before? Shaky ground? No matter how unstable your life might feel here, our future in Christ is secure. Your future in Christ can be secure. There are very few scriptures or verses in Scripture that talk a whole lot in detail about the description of eternal life, but these verses are rich with promise, and it says, I am going to prepare a place for you. He had direction. He had a point where he was going to go, and he said, I am going to go. I am going to go, and when I get where I'm going, I'm going to do something when I get where I'm going. And when I get where I'm going and the time is right and the preparations are done, I want you to know I will come and get you. I'll come and get you. He's coming back. You know, I think about the illustration I used the other night when you and I were chasing cows and Chris was with us, and what he didn't understand was that we were going to come back and get him. And he was freaking out because it was so dark. Can't our world get a little dark from time to time? We begin to wonder, did he miss me? Did they go by me? Did they forget where I was? He hadn't forgot. You and I can look forward to eternal life because Jesus has promised it all to who believe, those of us that believe in Him. Man, the details. I'm not caught up. So a lot of people are really wrapped up in the details. Caught up in the details. They need to know all the stuff. I don't. I just want to know that that's where I'm going. This is how I get there. The rest of it, it'll work itself out. The pan method. It'll pan out in the end. Right? I am going to prepare a place for you. We look forward to eternal life because Jesus promised it to all who believe in Him. And although the details of eternity are unknown, we don't need to fear because Jesus is preparing for us and will spend eternity with us. Jesus is the one preparing for us. I found this to be very interesting in ancient Jewish culture. In ancient Jewish culture, when a young man gets engaged, he returns to his father's house to build a room for his bride. You already have a house, so don't get any ideas. Where he would return to his father's house and build a room for his bride. And when the room was finished, he would come back and bring her home. It's a picture that Jesus is painting here. He is the bridegroom, and you and I are the church. We're his bride. And he's preparing a place in his father's house to bring us to. I think that's awesome. He's preparing a place, and one day, very soon, I believe he's going to come back and take us to that home. He's going to take us to that place. Jesus makes it very clear in verses 4 through 6. The clarity of the only path. The world would say to you, isn't it a little narrow-minded that there's only one way to heaven? I mean, because we want it our way. We're not talking about Burger King here. We're talking about the King of Kings. We're talking about a place called heaven. And the reality is, and I'll hit on this again later, but that he gave us a way at all is absolutely amazing. We only need one way. Well, it's so narrow. Well, at least there's a way. John 14, verses 4, 5, and 6 says, and where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Thomas says to him, Lord, we do not know. I think he says it kind of matter-of-factly. We don't know the way that you're going. I can hear him just a little freaking out. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus, in a heart of compassion, a heart of being truly long-suffering, with Thomas, that was, he was a doubter, he didn't believe, all these kinds of things, and Thomas is like, we don't know where you're going, we don't know how we're going to get there. And Jesus, I think Jesus just looked right at him. You ever had your dad just look right at you? Really didn't have to say a whole lot after that. Just the fact that he looked at you with that look. How many of you dads have got that look? You don't have to say a thing to your kid. Just, Josh, this is a 12,000 volt electric fence. Don't touch it. Okay, Dad. I know I can touch it faster than it can shock me. Guess what? You could hear him for 3 miles. I love it when the kids come home. It's true. It was hot, wasn't it? He ain't forgot it. He didn't do it again that I know of. Well, I'll go buy another one if you want to keep trying. Yeah. Huh?
You had one of those kids too.
No, four of them. One of them's teaching your kids. Just saying. Oh, boy. Really, what's happening here is Thomas is showing what really is revealed in all the human confusion. Lord, we don't know the way. How many of you have been confronted with the gospel and you would say, well, I don't know the way. I don't know how to get there, and only to have someone say, well, Jesus is the way. Lord, we don't know the way. Thomas asks for directions. Jesus didn't give him directions. He didn't say, go down here and, you know, hang a left, go 10 miles. You ever have your GPS thing in your car start telling you which way to go, and you already know the way to go? You're like, would you just shut up? In 300 feet, turn right. Really? I knew that. Tells you anyway. It's programmed that way. Thomas asks for directions, but Jesus gave him a destination. Think about that. Thomas asked for directions, but Jesus gave him a destination. What was the destination? The destination was Jesus Christ himself. I am the way. Jesus responds with divine clarity. I am the way. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He didn't say, I'll show you the way. He didn't say, I can teach you the way. He said, I am the way. I am the way. It's one of the most basic and the most important passages in the Scripture. Jesus is the way because He's both God and both man. And by uniting our life with Him, we become united with Christ. Pretty simple. We become united. So we have to trust Jesus to take us to the Father. And in doing so, all the benefits of being God's child will be yours and mine. I spoke with somebody this past week, and I don't even remember who it was that I was talking to, but I said this. I said, listen, the prodigal son, when the prodigal son took his inheritance and went and squandered it all, and his mentality was, because he'd listened to, really, I think, the voice of the world that said, listen, you're disassociated now from the family. Anybody ever listened to that voice? They don't want you no more. You've been too bad. And so he began to listen to that voice. And he begins to reason. Anybody ever reason things out in your own? How'd that work out for you? He begins to reason in his mind. He said, well, listen, maybe I can just go home and my dad, because his dad was a prominent guy. He had money. He was one of the city fathers. And he said, maybe I can just go home and maybe dad will just give me a job. Because anything's got to be better than what I got here, which is pig feed. He said, I'm going to go home. But when he gets home, the most amazing thing happens. Before he ever gets there, his father is looking for him. His father never gave up hope on him. His father never quit believing that one day his son, not a hired hand, not a servant, his son was going to come home. And when he saw him coming around that corner, the Bible says that he girded himself. That means he pulled up his robe, which was taboo. It was wrong. He couldn't, culturally, that a man of his stature and his position could never do that. But he, listen, when your kid comes home, all bets are off. All cultural ties are off. All the normal forms of right stuff, it falls. Look, that's my kid. I recognize him. He girded himself, jumped off. I think he had a porch. I don't care what you think. I think he had a porch. And he jumped off that porch, and he took off running, and he fell. Now, remember where the kid come from. Judy? I've been in your pig pen 100 times if I've been in it once. I have fed them from outside the fence. You can't feed pigs without getting pig stuff on you. You can't do it. Anybody bear witness with that? You can't feed hogs without getting hog stuff on you. But his father didn't even slow down. The Bible says his father just ran and just fell on him in all of his mess. He hugged him. He grabbed him. He hugged him. He loved on him. Why? Because it was his son. He began to spread the word. This boy of mine that was lost has been, he's home. He's come home. Get a robe. And he put his robe. He took his robe and put his robe on his son. He put a ring on his finger. He put sandals on his. He said, let's party. My boy's home. Let's have a feast. Let's celebrate that my son who was lost. And he, listen, the boy lost his inheritance. He squandered his inheritance, but he never lost his sonship. Four or five of you caught that. But you need to understand, you can lose your inheritance, but you don't lose your sonship. You don't lose your place in the family. It was still his son. And I'm telling you, Jesus is saying the truth. He loves us. He says, I am the way. He is the way because he's both God and man. And we have to trust Jesus to take us to the Father. And all the benefits of being God's child is going to be ours. And there's only one way to heaven, and his name's Jesus. There's only one way, and his name's Jesus. The way is that he reconciled us to God. We've been reconciled to God. Because sin separated us from God, Jesus built a bridge with his cross. He spanned the gulf, the chasm. The way is he reconciled us. The truth is, he revealed who God is. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He reveals who God is. Every promise of God finds its yes in him. So he's the way, and he's the truth, and thirdly, he's the life. And he gives eternal life to all who believe. He gives eternal life to all who believe. Church, the grave couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. And because the grave couldn't hold him, he has made a way to eternal life for all of us who believe. And I found this story about a missionary in Africa, and he asked one of the local guides to take him to an unfamiliar village that was deep into the jungle. And after hours and hours of walking through thick brush, no trail, the missionary asks the question, are you sure we're on the right path? We've asked that before, haven't we? Are you sure we're on the right path? The guide looked at him and he smiled and he lifted his machete and he said, I am the path. I am the path. I am the path. I know the way. The truth is, that's exactly what Jesus is saying to us here. I am the way. And when we follow him, we'll never be lost. When we follow him, we'll never be lost. Many roads lead to confusion, but only one road leads home. Many roads lead to... How many of you realize the world wants many roads? They want to choose whatever they want. They want to choose this way, that way. He said, nope, there's only one way that gets to heaven. And it's narrow. And there's few that find it. Jesus doesn't simply teach the way or point you to the way. He is the way. He is the way. In fact, the way is what one of the names that the early church was referred to in Christian faith was the way. And when Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me, it wipes away any other proposed way to heaven. Good works, religious ceremonies, or costly gifts, all those kinds of things. I remember as a hospice chaplain that the boss, we had to go to this seminar and sit and listen to, all this mystical kind of stuff, and you had to sit in the dark and cross your legs and do that number. Wipe everything out of your mind. I ain't wiping everything out of my mind. Asked me after it was all said and done, how'd you like our seminar? I said, permission to speak freely, ma'am. I said, I thought it was ridiculous. She asked me why, and so I told her why. They talked about all these gurus and all these, you know, Confucius and all these other things. I said, but we didn't talk too much about Jesus, and according to the Word of God, He's the only way to peace. He's the only way. Well, He is a way. I said, no, He's not a way. He is the way. There is no other way. Conversation was pretty much over. Yeah. They don't want to hear that. He is the only way, one way, and it's Jesus Christ. It's this assurance that even encouraged the Lord, who in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, He said, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. He knew that the cross was not the end. The cross was just part of the way. Paul had this truth in mind when he wrote in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's coming a day. Paul stated that believers will share in the sufferings of Christ. If you think serving the Lord is just going to be a nice, you know, afternoon walk in the park by a babbling brook, you're mistaken. The Scripture makes it clear that the godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to happen. And so he completes the thought in this verse, concluding that the sufferings we now face are nothing compared to the glory that we will one day receive when we are in the presence of God in heaven. It's going to be so much beyond what we could ever hope or think or ask. This present suffering, church, is temporary, but the future glory is eternal. Come on, Kathy. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us an immeasurably great glory that will last forever. Isn't that awesome? So when your heart's troubled, when your heart is troubled, believe in Jesus. Believe and keep on believing over and over. Sometimes we got to believe until it sinks in. Hello. Believe in Jesus. He gives peace now. And then not only do we believe in Jesus, but we have to trust His promise. If He promised it, it's ours. If He promised it, it's ours. So trust His promise. He is in fact preparing a place for you and I. He said it in His Word. And then we have to follow His path. He alone leads us to eternal life. He's the way and the truth and the life. And no man goes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Bow your heads with me this morning. Can I tell you this morning that no matter how lost you have been. Jesus is the way home. No matter how far out there you've been, no matter how deep in the pig pen of life you've been, Jesus is the way home. If you've never trusted Christ before, He's inviting you to come home today. He's inviting you today. His arms are extended. His hand is reaching out to you. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 says, "Come to me, all who are, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Even in your hardest moments, and we've all had them, even in your hardest moments, if you'll just lift your eyes, be assured that your Savior has not forgotten you. He's not abandoned you. He knows who you are, and He knows where you are. Some of you need to hear this morning. Jesus is not standing at the finish line somewhere off in glory, telling you and screaming at you to try harder. He's not at the finish line shouting, "Come on, you can do it, try harder, try harder." No. He comes to where you are and He says, "Follow me." He takes you by the hand and He says, "Follow me. Follow me." He's here today and He's speaking to you and He's saying, "I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life." Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this passage of Scripture that's so familiar to so many, but yet it's like a brand new message this morning. It's new again today. You are the way and the truth and the life. And the only way to get to you, Lord, is through a surrendered heart. Through a heart that says, "Lord, I surrender. I think He would tell you this morning, if He was here in this pulpit, quit struggling. Quit fighting it. Quit trying to work it all out for yourself, because you're never going to be able to do that. You don't call the doctor on the phone and say, "Hey, I'm doing my best to get well so that I can come and see you." Listen, the well don't need the doctor. It's the sick. He's not waiting for you to get your mess cleaned up before you come to Him. He's saying, "Come as you are." The sun didn't stop at a truck stop or a Motel 6 and rent a room and get cleaned up before He came home. He came home in a mess. The Father received Him in the mess that He was in. The Father received Him in that state. He didn't have any reservation, and He wants to receive you today. Whether you're in this room or whether you're watching by way of the internet, He wants to receive you today. He's preparing a place for you. You know why? Because He already knows. He already knows. Some of you are going to make a choice to serve Him today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, people are praying all over this place. Let me ask you this question. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, today's your day. Today's your day. He went to an old rugged cross and died, gave his life, shed his blood, endured such a horrific beating because he knew one day the second day of November you are going to be in church. He knew that you were going to hear this message, and he knew that you were going to have an opportunity to say, Lord, I'm a mess, but if you want me, I surrender myself to you. How do I do it, Pastor? I'll tell you how you do it. You just simply raise your hand and acknowledge that you have a need for Jesus, and he'll meet your need. It really can be just that simple. So if you're here today and you say, Preacher, that's me. You're talking to me. I need Jesus in my life. Maybe you've never accepted him before, not ever. Maybe you accepted him and you began to rationalize things in your own mind, and you begin to try and figure it all out and say, yeah, maybe the Lord will just let me into heaven, but just give me a tent on the backside of glory somewhere. He'll just barely let me in. That's not the way it works. Maybe today you need to say, Father, forgive me. I've wandered from the family. But today I'm saying, if you'd have me back, I want to rededicate and commit my life to you once again. If you fit either one of those categories, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right now. I want to pray with you. Either of those categories. Yes, hon, I see your hand. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. You can put it down. Somebody else? Preacher, that's me. Anybody else today? Maybe you're watching by way of the internet. Obviously, I don't know who you are, but if you would just type a little deal in there, say, my hand's raised, we'll pray for you. In fact, we're going to pray, and if you pray with us, you can get just as saved at the other end of that camera, wherever it leads to, as you could in this room. So if you raised your hand, I want you to get up and come and meet me right here in front of this church. Come on, get up and come right here. Meet me right here. Come on, meet me right here. Come on. Come on. It's all right.
Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you.
Heart adore.
the hot dogs over there. Get you a hot dog on your way out. 5 or 6 of them, in fact.